Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Eurovision Files.
We've got lots of things today. We're going to discuss Super Saturday number 3. Very exciting. 6 new songs. But also, Barbara, do you want to say what we have planned for this episode?
Yes, so we have a very special interview with a very special guest. You'll find out after our theme.
Welcome to the Eurovision Files.
So, yeah, last Saturday I went to a concert of a very big name of Eurovision 2023, and this artist let me interview her. So now we know it's a woman before the gig. So now you're going to be listening to this very special interview, and then we can do the recap of the Super Saturday. Hi everyone, the Eurovision Files. It's Barbara here, and I have a very special guest tonight. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, people. This is Alessandra,
Hey!
Queen of Kings.
Regina Di Rey. So, Alessandra, you just released an EP, The Best Year of Your Life. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It represents very much 2023. It's like, it is a little bit like a song for everything that has happened, for, of course, Eurovision, for all the fans that I've met and the community we've built up, for all the people that I've created a relationship with, and it's like a love EP for 2023.
Good. Sounds really, very good. I've been listening to the EP on my way here. I really, really like it. So you mentioned it talks about your Eurovision journey. So how was it? Are you happy about everything that happened there?
I'm super happy. I don't regret anything. Like, I'm super proud. Even maybe the things that went, like, say, wrong happened, because I learned so much from it. And I now, like, I've been also going through such a like process and progress in my voice use. And that's only because Eurovision a little bit destroyed my vocal cords, because there was so much use of them. But then, because of it, I am learning every day how to use it.
I remember seeing you with a scarf in the last days of the week in Eurovision, but you recovered for the final.
I tried it, but I saw the final a few days ago, and I can see already how different my vocal cords are now. Like, it feels so much healthier. It's crazy.
But you still conquer the public.
Fortunately, yeah. But it like, as a singer, you feel it, you know? And then for those who know how it should sound, like a healthy vocal cord, but it has been like challenging to be a part of Eurovision, not knowing so much how to use your instrument.
Did you watch this year Melody Grand Prix? So what do you think about the outcome?
I think Gothe is going to be a great act on Eurovision. I think it's also nice that they're not pop. Even, like, it's not something I would listen to in the normal days, but that's my own taste. Like, it's not important. But I think it's very cool that not something pop comes to Eurovision and shows different sides of Norway and different sides of music in general. I'm very happy, and there's a lot of songs also of MGP that were nice.
I have to reckon that my favorites were Kino. I'm a fan of Kino, but Gothe were my second favorite ones. So still happy. And you're half Italian, so have you watched Sanremo?
I watched Sanremo. I think Sanremo was great this year. It has so many great songs in it. I think Angelina Mango, she's wonderful. I love her so much. She's such a strong woman, and I really look up to her and love her voice. I loved also Mahmood. I really like everyone had a, yeah, Annalisa, So many great songs.
Hmm. I already mentioned this to my listeners. Mahmood is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, he's really so cool, you know. I remember meeting him in the elevator.
Really?
In Eurovision. And then I don't know if he knew who I was or anything, but I was like, oh, the fuck? He doesn't know I can speak Italian, but that's a very cool guy there. He's so cool, and he's so classy. And knows what he's doing and has it's totally its own thing, you know. And that's, I think, it's very important as an artist.
Yeah, he's very unique, I think.
Yeah,
very down to earth.
Super unique. Yeah.
Are you considering at any point entering either Sanremo or Melody Grand Prix again?
I think that if something happened, it would be fun to do Sanremo. I think because that's new and it's Italian, so I could show my Italian part.
Yeah.
So I think that would be cool, but right now we're focusing on my fans and on the music that we're going to give out and everything that's happening in the future.
We cover a lot of things regarding identities in our podcast, so how do you think your music represents your heritage, your identity?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of empowerment in my music. There's a lot of strength. There's a lot of understanding too for doing sometimes the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I would say that for my Italian part is like this energy, right? This passion, this energy that you feel, you know, the Latino blood. And then with my Norwegian part, I think more it's how I handle maybe the business also. Like how I maybe can be patient sometimes and also have more maybe understanding for some stuff instead of getting anger like maybe Italians sometimes do. So I think that this Italian-Norwegian thing is very much a nice balance for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you want to focus on your fans and your music. Any specific plans for the future?
Well, giving out music. Like, I'm not gonna stop doing that. There is gonna be a new tour.
Ooh.
Like, there's a lot coming, and I just think that people should fasten their seatbelts.
Wow, that's breaking news, guys. You're very active on social media as well, and you have a great fan base on TikTok and Instagram. And you're encouraging your followers to tag Rosalía.
You know what, like, the thing is that, of course, I want her to be on the song, and I'm going to continue doing that. I'm going to continue to have that dream of mine. But the also most important thing that I'm doing is also showing people that even though you're a smaller artist than her, that you should have the balls, and you should show the world who you are.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't put labels on the fact that, oh, I've been an artist for 1 year, or not even 1 year, you know? So. And that because of that, I shouldn't have the courage in a way. I shouldn't feel like I can ask her to be on a song. But I don't give a fuck about that, like, at all. And I know that I'm a great artist. I know that I have great stuff to say and give to the world. And I know that if Rosalía got to know me, she would love me as much as I love her. So, no, you know, you gotta believe in yourself at the same time as not being cocky. It is a balance, as everything.
You go, girl. Rosalía, if you're listening to this, get in touch with Alessandra. And you tagged also Luis Capaldi for today.
Luis! Oh, I love him. I just thought I was here. I was like, you know what? Like, let's just do it. I was like, Carpe Diem. They met him. I don't know. I think
in London.
In London, yeah. They met him. They have the same agent, I think. I'm not sure, but either way, like, the Met.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, it's so cool to meet him, so cool to just learn from someone that is wise and has been in this industry and has probably a lot of, like, wise pearls, Italian, and share a good talk, and I think he's very cool, so if he wants to come, we are here with open arms.
I hope he turns up today.
Yeah,
wonderful. So thank you so much for your talk, Alessandra.
No,
you've been very kind. And
you too.
I hopefully meet you at some other point.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was amazing. You're so lucky that you were able to meet Alessandra. What do you think about her? Like, how was
Well,
she?
I was expecting her to be super friendly. We know all these videos of Alessandra. I saw her briefly in Eurovision last year, although I didn't have a chance to talk to her, but I was expecting her to be super friendly, super nice, and that's what I got. Honestly, she is just the best, a very kind heart and soul. We got some very exciting news. So she's touring again. That was breaking news for our podcast. Thank you, Alessandra, for giving us the exclusive news. And I'm really happy that she is also very a fan of Mammoet, as I am. I wasn't even going to bring up this topic again, but it was not me. It was Alessandra. It was
Okay.
the queen of me. So what can you say?
Yeah, she was super nice. I thought she was really focused as well on her career, like listening to what she had to say. I think she is very clear about the kind of artist she wants to be and about the message that she wants to send about empowerment and about being yourself and not bending to anyone else's will. So I think, yeah, it was amazing to hear from her. I thought she sounded super friendly. So thank you again, Alessandra, for meeting Barbara. It was so nice. I only wish I had been there as well.
Yeah, so we actually had a conversation about that, about the content that she does on social media about body positive, women empowerment, be yourself, you are enough. So off the record, we were talking about that and how I really appreciate how she is a role model for these younger generations. And she really expressed that throughout the concert. It was a very, very energetic concert. I was really impressed. I was expecting something like that, but that was with someone who only knew Queen of Kings. And he was really, really impressed because she's very young. She only got her EP released last week, and she delivered an hour and a quarter of the best performance. Very energetic, very cheering. The voice is amazing. We know that she has an amazing voice. And everyone was either crying with emotional songs or just being super happy and jumping and all the way around. So honestly, I cannot wait for this next tour because I'll be there again.
Amazing. We will be there
Yes.
100%. Alessandra, come back soon. You know, we're looking forward to finding out when your new dates in the UK are so we can make sure that we're there.
Yes. So now let's
Yeah.
go to the Super Saturday. Another
Yes.
one.
Another
Oh
Super
my God.
Saturday.
What a time to be alive.
It was, yes, amazing. It's probably the biggest yet as well, because we have now six new songs, which, by the way, you can hear in our Spotify playlist. It's updated up to today, and I believe we've got now 18 songs there. So we're halfway there, because, yeah, almost halfway there. If we are getting 36, 37 artists or countries actually coming to Eurovision. And yeah, where would you like to start, Barbara?
Well, maybe I can start with my favorite, which I think is also your
Yes,
favorite.
the
It's
surprising
Estonia.
favorite, the surprising
Yes,
favorite.
exactly. Because I have to say that Oli, you remember Oli, we talked about this entry, we posted about, well, not this entry, but this artist last year, and we actually liked it. And also the version that they did of Tattoo, it was amazing. I actually
And
loved it.
yeah, he did a
Cha-cha-cha.
version of Tattoo and Cha 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 in
Yeah.
Estonian, and it was amazing, actually. Yeah.
But I was really impressed with the entry that won. I cannot really pronounce the whole
Yeah,
name.
it's. I
It's a
was gonna
longest
say
name.
5 minute, but obviously they won't pronounce a five as five, so we'll
It's
get
actually
there. We'll
the
learn it. We will learn it before Eurovision, we promise.
longest. We have to study hard.
Yes.
It's actually the longest name of a song in the Eurovision history. So that's why it's so hard to say it. But actually, my favorite song out of all the songs that were announced during the Super Saturday. I think it's very energetic. It can come across like odd and weird at first, but the more you listen to it, the more you get into it.
Yeah, it's. I think the first time I heard it, I thought, oh God, this is another crazy one. But then you listen to it three, four times and you think, this is actually a quite serious contender. It's not a silly song. It sounds great. It's chaotic in a very good way. I think, yeah, it's actually very catchy once. It's a bit repetitive, but in a way that literally just fixes in your mind and you want to keep listening to it. So it doesn't really feel necessarily that repetitive. Yeah, I really liked it out of the six songs. I have to say, it for me, it was probably the best Super Saturday yet. I think I liked all the six songs. Can't say any of them I felt, you know, meh about it. So yeah. But yeah, Estonia, well done.
When you were describing the Estonian song, it seemed like a cha-cha-cha description.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like a copy or something, but it ticks all the boxes of cha-cha-cha. Catchy, repetitive, but funny in a good way. Yeah. You know?
I think maybe the performance from the bits I've seen does not feel necessarily as fun as cha-cha-cha. It feels like lots of people on stage, but cha-cha-cha had an element of like proper humor and taking the Mickey out of himself. That these guys somehow don't feel like they're doing. It reminded me a bit of Go A in 2022? Well, whenever Go A went, I'm really sorry.
2020 or 2021.
Yes, 2020. It was 2021 in the end when they actually went. But yeah, it, that kind of repetitive song that somehow feels bonkers at the beginning, but you listen to it a second time and you think, wait a second, there's something here. That's how I felt. And I like we were talking about it and I told you, this is the kind of song that in 1 month I'm going to actually love. It's taking me less time than that. So, yeah.
24 hours.
Yeah, 48, but yeah.
But Estonia was not the only one.
No.
Let's talk on Denmark, because it's one of those epic songs, great voice, and it is already some people's favorite. I don't know, because it's the fact that they want Denmark to win, because last time Loreen won and Eurovision was in Malmö, we know that Emily de Forest for Denmark won. So I don't know if they want to repeat the whole story all over again, but it's a good song, and I think she does a great performance.
Yeah, I think it's probably people want it to be a favorite for that reason, because they are feeling that there's a pattern. Like you say, Loreen won, and then the Eurovision Song Contest was in Malmö, and then obviously what happens in Malmö is people stay either in Malmö and surrounding areas, or in Denmark, in Copenhagen, because you just need to cross the bridge. So obviously Denmark became favorites, and they had a great song as well, let's be honest about it. So I think they're probably thinking there's a pattern here, and they got a very catchy song, and it actually feels like the kind of catchy song that people will really sing, you know, when they're waiting outside the venues, and when they're having, you know, impromptu meetings and they're just joining. And it's a kind of song that I can imagine people just singing. Really catchy. I really like it. No identities, really. I wouldn't say it's something that reminds you of Nordic culture or anything like that. It's just a very catchy pop song.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a very good, well-done song, I would say. It's not just a song to tick a box. It's a proper banger, actually.
When I listen to the new songs, or each one of the new songs, I try to think, is this something memorable? Will I remember this song in like 10 years' time? Because all the big Eurovision winners, those songs are key in the history of Eurovision. Yes. Because they are super good, catchy, and have all the necessary elements. And I don't think this one has all these elements.
No, I don't think so. I think, you never know in 1 month or in 2 months what we're going to be feeling about it. But yes, if you think, I mean, we are in a big year when we are celebrating the 50 years of a Eurovision winner that everyone knows. And everyone knows the lyrics, and it doesn't feel old, even though it's 50 years. Yeah. I don't think this song is that one. I'm not really sure, to be honest, in this year's Eurovision, I've heard one song that I would say in 50 years' time, it will be as big. Obviously, we can't expect them all to be Waterloo. But yes, I think it's not necessarily a song that I will remember maybe in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
But it is a good song.
Yeah, it's the same. Same happens when I think about the new German entry,
which is another song. It's, but I have to say, pleasantly surprised because Germany has not had a lot of luck in the past few years. I think they took a big chance last year. Obviously, it was something very different. And for that reason, it was, you know, probably it made headlines. Not in a bad way, just it was just different. But people didn't seem to like it. So, and this one, I think, even if it's not a winner, I have a feeling it can be fit in the middle, in the peloton, in the bulk, you know, of songs. So it's not going to be a front runner. It's not going to be the tail. I have a feeling it's one of those that will feel like the top half of the second column, or maybe the bottom half of the top of the first one. Again, big result for Germany if they can do that.
Yeah, because they will do something better than last year. And I have to say that I don't think they deserve to be last last year. I don't think so. Someone needs to be last, of course, but I don't think they deserve to show at all.
I don't know if they deserve to be last, but they didn't deserve the... What did they get? 4 points? It was really low, a really low score. I don't know if it was zero for either the jury or the public or something like that. I don't think they deserve that. And I think it might somehow be unjust, generally speaking, the way the votes work, because it's tough not to get any points at all.
It's even difficult.
It's actually quite difficult, yeah, especially with the way the votes work now. I think with the public and so on, you can get so many points. How is it that you wouldn't get even like 10 points? So yeah, but it can be quite harsh for a contest that is all about, you know, love and enjoying and making friends and so on. It can be a really harsh reality when it gets to the scores. And I don't think they deserve that. Last, like you say, someone has to be last. Yeah. It was them, but not with that amount of votes. I think it should be more than that.
You know which song I like from this last few songs that we got, the last bunch? I like Moldova's. It's Natalia Barbu, who actually already participated in Eurovision. I quite like it because it's very identitarian. I can hear the violins, I can hear them speaking in their own languages, and all, I don't know, the vibe. It's quite folky and I like that.
Yeah, I think it does sound like that Eastern European, Carpathian, you know, Romania, Moldova, all that area of the Carpathian mountains and so on. It feels like that. It feels like it's got that Eastern European vibe, but it's in English, which fine. You know, it probably will get to more people. It's again a very catchy one. I honestly, like, I feel like all the songs this weekend were quite catchy for me. They were fine.
We have a good bunch. Yes. Then we also have Lithuania, which I think is another good pop song, as you said. It doesn't say something or anything special to me, but I like it. It's not something that I probably remember in 5 years' time, or maybe will. I don't know. We still need to listen to all the songs like a thousand times.
Yeah,
but it's nice. It's okay.
Yeah, I think we even had some comments on Instagram mentioning Sylvester. So yeah, definitely a fan favorite in his home country. It's a bit like the German entry in that it will probably be in the bulk of the songs, like not top but not bottom, but definitely it's a good banger as well. I've enjoyed listening to it. It feels like all this blue futuristic vibe that works quite well with Eurovision. We've had that kind of thing before. I think it works when you place them on stage, because Eurovision is always about lightning and you know how they present themselves, and this one I believe can do something quite original with the staging because of the vibe of the song. So yeah, another great song.
I think it's something different, you know. The song is not groundbreaking, but the whole staging is different from what we saw or what we've seen so far in this new songs of Eurovision 2024.
We should, and I'm sure we will, review all the songs or the finalists once we get to a point where we know what the staging will be like, when we listen to them like a thousand times and we can tell you everything about them, and maybe things will change change. But for now, what he's presented is a good entry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last one that we have actually was announced today as of Monday, and that was Luna for Poland. And the song Tower.
The Tower, yeah. I like it. Nice to feel that they've stepped away a little bit from the Latin vibes of last year, because it felt incongruous. It, you know, I don't need Poland to do Latin American vibes. It's not Poland. Yeah. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it being quite poppy-ish and so on. It's, you know, the north of Europe does pop very well. So fine. Yeah, it's I like it. What do you think?
I like this song too. Yeah. I think we need more of the staging side of it to see how it's going to be presented. But yeah, I'm surprisingly, I liked it. Yeah. So much better than last year. Nothing against Blanka herself, but this song I don't think fits Poland at all. I think it was just a vague repetition of Chanel at some point without being.
I think it's somehow it. I know that they will argue that they are sending the best song of the year, regardless of what it feels like. But I think it would be nice to make an effort to present what's good about the music the music scene in the country. And I mean, you know, maybe I'm mistaken, and maybe that's what you hear in Poland all the time, but I can't imagine that you are listening to, I mean, that they are doing that kind of thing. They might be listening to it, but I don't think musicians and artists in Poland are just doing Latin vibes. I am sure they got a big scene, and they introduce things from their musical culture, like the identities bit, something that we've discussed plenty of times. Ukraine, for example, that's amazingly, and they got always plenty of entries that I think Ukraine, any song that they wanted to send would be like, yeah, we love it. We love it. Because we commented on 2013 and we were not that happy about it. But since then, they've done plenty of songs where we felt that they were good bangers. Yeah. So I'm sure Poland can do something very similar. This one is not necessarily doing the identities vibe, but it's doing something that feels more like Northern pop, and it's probably good enough, let's say, for me.
You know which one I'm really looking forward to listening to?
Which one?
It's Musti. It's releasing the song tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to it, because this was announced so very...
Yeah, was it like the first one, I think?
No, it was the first one was France, so probably the second one around October or even September.
It was very, very long time ago, yeah.
Exactly, and it's happening tomorrow, so
more content for next week.
Yes. We cannot really comment on that just now.
No, but, and we need to keep an eye. There are a few others that we need to keep an eye on. One that I really want to hear is Eden for Israel. I think we've had some news about Israel again this week. So while we're waiting for the song, we know that there are about 400 artists from all over the world that have signed a letter asking for Israel to be allowed to go to Eurovision. And I don't know what you're saying. My opinion is I absolutely agree with the reasons. My concern about Israel not going to Eurovision is not about the politicization of the festival or anything like that. It's just one to make sure, and I hope that they are making sure that security concerns are being taken into consideration.
That's always been a concern. That's always what we discussed in this space, because that's what we actually believe. The EBU released another statement saying that, because people were saying, oh, why did you ban Russia but not Israel? And they made very clear that the contest is on broadcasters and not governments or armies or anything like that, and that Russia had broken the rules at that time.
Yeah.
Israel didn't yet anyway. So that's why they are participating.
Yeah, I think the argument is the broadcaster in Israel has at times been critical of the government, and the government has actually had issues with what the broadcaster was saying, which shows some semblance of impartiality that the Russian broadcaster doesn't have. So that's the, it's not about the war in Ukraine or about any other activism in Russia. It's about the fact that Russia's broadcaster is breaking the rules. And yeah, like I say, I personally agree completely. And I mean, other than that, to be fair, I'd love to be listening to what Russians are doing musically. You know, we had Tattoo 20 years ago going to, and they were great. So I think it would be a lovely opportunity. Eurovision is the place where you hear all these countries doing things that you haven't heard, and you are not going to have another opportunity. But there are certain rules to be met. If Israel is meeting them, you know, regardless of what you think about the government, these people that are going and just doing their best, it's not their fault, whatever is happening, and they just want to showcase their music. So yeah, for me, absolutely fine. But I just hope that there will not be any issues, because 99% of the people in the contest will want to have fun, but there's always someone that wants to cause trouble. And Israel participating can give them a reason, maybe not a valid reason, but it can give them a reason for it.
Yeah. So on a more brighter note, we have some stuff going on this week as well. So we're getting busier and busier. Oh my God. So as we said, Belgium is releasing the song tomorrow. Also Dora. So Croatia's national selection is happening this week. We have two semifinals and then the final on the 25th. Another hit of Melody Festivalen, the semifinal number two for Iceland. We have Una Voce per San Marino. We discussed about the possibility of Anna-Lisa or Mahmoud participating. Well, not them, but Loredana Bertè, who participated in Sanremo, is one of the artists.
Yep.
Wow, surprise. I was not expecting that.
No, me neither. Like I said last week, I wasn't even sure that they were allowed. clearly they are.
They might not use the same song. I mean,
no, yeah, I don't think it's probably unlikely that that was what I thought. I have a feeling. Even, you know, if you think about 2020 and 2021, they didn't go with the same song, even though it was mostly the same artists. I think trying to represent two different countries with the same song is unlikely.
I'm weird.
And it doesn't show much of an effort. Let's be honest about it. Yeah. Do we know? I think it's 9 big artists they've said. Do we know all of them already?
It's 8. Yeah, they were announced today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just look for the names. I don't know how big these artists are. I only know Loredana Bertè. So the entries are Pago. Never heard of Pago before. I'm sorry. Amy Atkinson.
An Italian name.
Yeah. Jalis, who were in Eurovision already. So we have a returner. Well, this year is not the year for people wanting to return to Eurovision, because a lot of people tried and no one is coming back yet. We have La Rua. We do have Marcella Bella, Aaron Sibley, Dana Gillespie, and we do have Loredana as well. So that's all the names so far.
I'm going to throw an unpopular opinion there and say that San Marino feels like a second attempt by Italy to get a second artist. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a bit strange, because they share even the phone code. How can you tell what's San Marino and what's Italy when you have 0039 as a phone code?
That's why they always get support from each other.
Exactly. How can you stop them voting for each other? It's like having the Vatican. Voting, you know, right? That's a Rome code.
Let's send the Pope.
Let's send the Pope. And yes, why not?
I would love that.
I'm sure artificial intelligence will put the Pope on stage and get him singing the Estonian songs.
Yeah, you know,
that there was this video
of it was not the actual Pope, but someone who goes by the Pope and dressed like that really looks like him, Mahmoud, and Mahmoud was trying to teach this Pope the choreography of Tutta Gold, and it was very funny. People actually thought it was Pope Francis.
Oh my God. I need to find that now. That's
Energy.
That's Tutta Gold.
Oh my God. So I think we reached the end. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and also Alessandra's interview.
Yeah, first interview. I'm sure we'll bring some more in the near future. But yeah, it was very exciting to have Alessandra join and being so nice and so kind and so eloquent. Much more eloquent than us, probably.
Of course, yeah. No doubt.
So that's it from now. We obviously are stepping this up, so it's probably going to be one episode per week until Eurovision now. So yeah, we can only say see you and hear us next week in another episode.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.